Roth às 6 da manhã.
Atenție, vă rugăm. David Roth este primul om de dimineață.
Roth, 6 a.m. Very consistent.
Are we even on the air?
I'm yeah, we're there. We're there. One button. We're good.
Tell you what, try that all over again, Hutch. Right from
again?
The very beginning, from the station ID on. Here you go.
All right, here we go.
Come on, Einstein. Wake your ass up.
Let's one go. Button, one button, that's what it was.
David Lee Roth às 6 da manhã.
Atenție, vă rugăm. David Roth este primul om de dimineață.
Roth, 6 a.m. Very consistent.
Ah, you missed the guitar again. Let's go from the top again, Hutch. Sorry. Stop. Stop everything. Stop it all. Come back in. First you get the loop. First you get the ID. Then you go to the loop. And then you hear the guitar. Here we go.
No, sorry. ID first.
David Lee Roth às 6 da manhã.
Atenție, vă rugăm. David Roth este primul om de dimineață.
Roth, 6 a.m. Very consistent.
Got it!
Turn your mic off.
Finally, Roth Radio. New York, Philadelphia, Dallas, Boston, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, West Palm Beach. And most of us are awake here. Morning, Robin. How are you?
I'm stoked.
Animal, how are you?
How are you doing this morning?
Brian, how are you? Live in front of your naked, steaming eyes. Why fooling your audience is never okay. Oprah. Robin, talk to me about A Million Little Pieces.
Did you read it?
No, I didn't, but tell me what you got there.
Well, I love the book. I really thought that the guy was... I thought it was a biography. Turns out, not so much.
What kind of autobiography?
A guy who was just battling drugs and a life of crime and all sorts of horrible things happened to him. And he was a good writer, you know, and it was a great story. But then it turned... And Oprah, a couple of years after the book comes out, Oprah puts it on her list of books. And sales go through the roof. And now it turns out the smoking gun... said they looked up the facts and apparently he wasn't arrested when he said he was arrested, and the cops didn't have records on this stuff that he said.
Well, let's walk through this step by step because I'm really getting kind of tired of this nonsense. Where did he supposedly get arrested and what did he get arrested for? Do you know?
He got arrested so many times. The guy was a blackout drunk and a blackout druggie, and he would wake up.
Good start. Yeah. We love drug addicts. We love the rehab story. We love, you know what we like even better? We like blind dope addicts. Oh, they're my favorites. And even better for the connoisseur, blind black dope addicts. You know what I'm saying? Blind black dope addicts who carry a gun. What do you think? It sounds just like it sounds like a band on Sony, doesn't it? we're gonna hear them on CJ and Elvis right after the show, and I'm gonna go in and jam with them, right?
Do you know blind dope addicts?
Oh, most of the great blues guys were. Ray Charles was a dope addict, right?
Yeah.
He was blind.
I thought you meant know him to, like, hang out with him.
No. You know, then you wouldn't know where you're going to hang out with him. But it's always a good story.
Yeah,
you know,
great story.
And particularly today, what used to be called crying in your beer is now get you a triple miniseries and three visits to Oprah where you can sit, like, Indian style with your shoes off, man, with incense burning. And you can sit around, and the worse your story is, the more you screwed your life up, the more you ruined your kids' lives, the more you destroyed your family's vision or your parents' hopes for you, the more you ruined your body, etc., the more applause you're going to get, do you think?
I do think. This guy went on Larry King and he brought his mom.
But like the move. Good theater. I don't know anything about, the terrible throes of whatever that he's experiencing. But realistically, that's great theater, you know. And his mom, did she cry?
I didn't see it.
Crying is important. You saw the thing for Judge Alito, right? With his wife in the background crying. Isn't that great? I love that theater.
That's so great.
Just, how could she possibly have withstood even as long as she did? The questioning of her husband's integrity. Could you imagine such a thing?
The
You know what I'm imagining is when he's got something on his mind, like a serious case, and he goes home and he has to deal with those tears. What do you think? Maybe she'll be on Oprah and it'll be a rough day.
Get a series.
She'll get a book.
Probably already has.
And she'll explain how difficult it is, you know? Most of these people get like ghostwriters. This guy was his own ghostwriter, right?
Yeah, I guess you could look at it that
way. Does he get
told some great stories, though. Like, one of the stories he told was he got busted, and to get out of going to jail, he went to rehab. And then it's sort of, you know, there's a love story involved.
Well, that's a popular issue, right? So
yes,
that you can say that...
you can hide out in rehab.
Well, you can hide a lot of things in the Twinkie defense. You can blame it all on something else, you know? I've taken it to an extreme. People say that drugs caused you to do something, or that alcohol caused you to do something, or that you were on cold medication that it caused you to do something. You ate a couple of Twinkies and the sugar went to your cerebral cortex and caused you to do something.
Yeah.
So I now blame pencils for all my ruined mathematics. Oh, I do. It does. It's arguable in court. This is actionable.
You're probably right.
It's not me. It's the pencil.
We should get a lawyer and see if we could prove it.
I don't need a lawyer. I am the law. Roth Radio, I am the law. New York, Philadelphia, you know where. Anyway, a million little pieces. So like his life fractured into a million little pieces.
Fractured into a million little pieces. So check this out. He wakes up one day. He's in a city. He doesn't know where he is. He's bloody. He's filthy. And his teeth are knocked out.
I love that opening every time I see it in every fourth futuristic movie or the Texas movie. And don't tell me, a dog runs across the screen with a human hand in his mouth. And you hear something like, turn the music off, Hutch. Here we go. Which actually, there you go. Play that, Brian. Which Clint Eastwood stole from all those Japanese movies that they made right after the war. Music, please.
Thank you.
So his life fractures into a million little shards of mirror through which we're all given sort of a little fragment of a view, like snippets, like flashes, like a video. Am I getting this right?
You are getting it so right.
Okay, yeah. And it says perhaps the most disturbing element of all is how the media reacted to Oprah's continued endorsement of the book. So what did Oprah do? She said they discovered that, well, wait. I want more dirt under the fingernails here. Tell me every element of what he did and what happened to him, appropriately.
The part that I remember, the most vivid part, was that he went to rehab and... so he wakes up in this strange city and the first thing he does is try to cop, you know, and...
What, heroin?
He was doing everything. He was doing crack and he was doing a lot of booze.
The best pitch for crack I ever heard was when I was living on 2nd and 17th a couple of years ago like that. And there was a crackhead who used to take beer cans and put like TV antennas through them so he could have four beer cans like reindeer antlers on either side of his head. And he would stand out on the corner in front of the methadone clinic up the street and go, yo, homie, crack it up. Lose weight for the holidays. When was the last time you could say that, white boy? Yo. But I digress. So he was doing heroin?
So he was doing heroin.
I prefer that he does heroin.
I do, too. It's so much sexier than crack.
The degradation happens a lot. It's more insidious.
It's more filthy.
And he's more capable. Well, I don't know. Crackheads are capable of good crime. Did he commit crimes?
He did, but it was petty next to his drug problems. You know, like he was... I don't even remember what the crime was. Stealing or something to get money for...
Okay, so stuff that you can't... So you can't hate him for...
Ooh.
Somebody's popping that. Unintentional. So, essentially, the crimes that he supposedly committed were what I call harmless rock star garbage, which means that you can't possibly hate him enough that you totally hate him, correct?
No, but on the other hand, he was facing some jail time for it because he was a repeat offender.
Oh, don't tell me. Up to 90 years plus life plus forever, but he only did 2.5, got out halfway through good behavior, and a third of that was deducted because he went through rehab. Music. Okay, we're back.
He didn't even get to jail till his next book. In a million little pieces.
How much do we pay for this garbage?
It was probably $20 when it came out, I bet.
hardcover.
Uh-huh.
And Oprah still supports this, but and it's a fact now. I'm not Judge Judy here. In fact, it demonstrated that this is all concocted?
Let's put it this way. There's no evidence to say that it wasn't concocted. There are no police records. And I'm not saying none, but there were several things that he claimed happened that there's no backup for.
There's virtually nobody, no witnesses, no records, or nothing yeah. like that. Okay, well, then you'll have to make your own decision. And being in showbiz, I don't think I'm paranoid. I just think I'm extraordinarily really ready. I think the opposite of, you may be paranoid. You'd say, I'm paranoid. I say, you live in a delusion that everybody's telling you the truth. I don't think so.
See, I'm with you.
I think this is showbiz. It's kind of like when Naomi Campbell supposedly wrote her own book. She had an autobiography, right? And she went to the book opening, and people started asking her plot points that weren't in the book. And she was answering the questions wrong. And an actress asked her later after the show, Naomi came up to her and said, wow, I loved your book. Who did you get to ghostwrite it? And whoever the woman was, she says, nobody. I typed it up myself. Who did you get to read it to you?
So let me get to the good part.
Go ahead.
So he's in rehab and he can't do any drugs and all his teeth are missing and broken.
From what?
We don't know. He woke up. He'd been blacked out. He woke up in another city.
Ooh, that's even more horrifying. Like you were asleep.
Yeah.
You were comatose.
Comatose.
And you were in a drug-induced stupor. No, stupor isn't a good Oprah word. You were in a drug-induced hospitalization encounter.
Pre-hospitalization.
Pre-hospitalization encounter.
Like facing a puddle.
There you go. Not good. The girls aren't going to go for that. Let's think of a better one here. A self-inflicted remorse that manifested all over his face. What do you think? Like that? If we're doing Oprah, we don't want to lose the girls here. And there are certain trigger words that you just can't have. And there are certain crimes that you can't have.
Well, you know what? There are going to be a lot of girls that just because the guy was in a stupor with his face in a puddle are going to say, oh, let me take care of you.
Do you think they have a Puis Love Me club? Because this is the opposite of Chuck Norris movies. Chuck Norris movies, if you think about it, have to have at least 6 major tortures on Chuck. So that by the time Chuck extracts grievous revenge later on the Vietnamese prison commandant or the evil faintly Slavic submarine commander or... Am I getting this right?
Yeah.
You still with us, Hutch?
I'm still there.
That sounds like your music in the background there. Okay. Then you love it because, you know, the Vietnamese prison commander has to take the live rat, and put it in the bag and then put it over Chuck's head and tie it. And Chuck has to kill it with his mouth, even though his arms are tied. You know, or the commando helicopter pilot gets forces Chuck to be dragged behind the helicopter through rice paddies with punji sticks. So, but by the halfway point when Chuck breaks free, you want to see him extract grievous revenge on your behalf, if nothing else, right? Okay.
Seems that way.
Okay. Well, you can't do stuff like that if you want to have a book like this for Oprah.
No.
Because, you know, if you're that bad guy, then you're unforgivable. These have to be what you always finish the sentence. It's very popular today to say, but in a good way. I'll show you. Like Sandra Bullock was she was talking about a movie coming up. This was, I don't know, a year ago, 2 years ago, but I never forgot her answer. And she goes, well, it's a movie about an assassin who's hired to kill all these guys, but in a good way.
What the hell does that mean?
Crack it up, brother. Crack it up. Lose weight for the holidays, but in a good way.
I'm going to leave you. I don't ever want to see you again. Don't ever call me. But it's in a good way.
But I'm saying this in a good way. So A Million Little Pieces has sold, a million books?
Oh, I'm sure it sold well more than that.
So now you have to read it to see if you can tell if he's BSing, right?
I got to tell you, it's whether it's true or not, it's a really good read.
Okay, well, then that may be the sale. I'm wondering now if, come on, we live in an Ashley Simpson tape-recorded Britney Spears phoned it in on her new Razor phone, and I'm talking about the whole last concert, you know, from the Bahamas, from her bedroom with Federline in Vegas, you know. And I guess if it looks good, it is good. If it's if it sounds good, it is good. If it reads good, it is good. Mr. Fisher, back in theory and orchestration. I was back in theory and orchestration class in the early 70s in college with the Van Halens. And Mr. Fisher, that was his first thing. Everybody knew that sentence because he opened every curriculum with that sentence. He would walk in and he would go, "Gentlemen..." There were very few women in the class back in 1973. I don't even think Oprah was on TV, though. What?
She probably was. She was.
Gentlemen, if it sounds good, it is good. Well, I guess if it reads good, it is good, right? If you enjoyed it, what the heck? Because somewhere here it says we could argue endlessly over Doubleday's insistence that the power of the overall reading experience is such that the book remains a deeply inspiring and redemptive story. A lot like the Bible. Do you believe that that's actually true? Everything happened in there? Did somebody make that up? Animal, weigh in on this one.
Well, you know, it all depends on what you believe in, what your religion is when it comes to the Bible. You know, it's like somebody read the Bible, everybody got their own opinion of it.
Do you believe somebody turned into the burning, do you believe somebody turned into a pillar of salt?
Yes, I do. You know, I really do believe that.
And have you ever experienced a burning bush?
Yes.
Tom, you're too fast for me. Okay, let's get back to Oprah.
Oh, my little bouncer.
This is Animo's house.
Yeah.
The power of the book, for me, emanated from its presentation as truth. Blah, blah, blah. If many of these things didn't happen, or even if some of them didn't happen, he doesn't think that the power is sapped. He wrote the book as much to make money as it is to inspire others. Let's read on that. Do you think he did it at all to inspire others, or did he just do it to make the money?
I think he did it for therapy.
Why do you think he did it for therapy? Who, somebody encouraged that? Like,
I think, you know, when you, I think that...
like he went to AA and they said you have to write this out and cleanse yourself? You
no,
know?
I think it was just a self-cleansing and probably felt good to, you know, some closure for him, put it all behind him and say, this is my story and I'm sticking to it and get it out.
Where did he actually write the story?
Purge. He had to purge the story.
He had to drive the demons out. An exorcism, right?
Yes, a self-exorcism.
Okay, well... His bad luck got all over somebody.
It's not his bad luck because he's going to profit from this. But
he's going to make a million. Well, let me ask you this, Ron. Where did he write the book? Something's making noise. It's the CBS gear. It's our microphones. Where did he actually write the book? Did he write this book in prison or rehab? Because that's usually the routine.
I don't think so. I think he's, you know, settled down now. And I think he lives here in New York and he, I believe, is married.
Okay. So, it says here, ultimately, these are consumer products, like laundry detergent or cereal or cars, right?
Yep.
Does it even matter? Do you even care? What's the big issue? Is that Oprah can't
care.
Be believed to produce, to
that is the problem,
create
is that,
believable product?
Well, that's the problem, is that Oprah's got this book club. She turns people into stars and big, mega, mega money stars.
So that's what's in question, right?
And the fact that she's endorsing this and not saying, you know what, it's true, some of the stuff wasn't true, some of the stuff was true, that's the issue, is that her credibility, they're making her credibility an issue.
I don't think that's so much of an issue. She must think of an issue. These brands are tarnished, Oprah's included, and they don't deserve any more of my time and money, says somebody. Ah, you're full of it. Who cares? If it reads good, it is good.
David Lee Roth Mornings.
Attention, por favor. David Lee Roth.
David Lee Roth.
Atemazinimle, David Lee Roth.
Your attention, please.
Welcome to Club Dave, where it only rains when we say so.
I was a butcher.
Oh, I hear him in the background there. We have ignition.
There's something, something's baby. Oh,
say what? I'm feeling black rage this morning. I got fooled and I swore along with Peter Townsend, that I wouldn't get fooled again.
Who fooled you?
You're expressing my inner rage. Go ahead, Brian. That's how I feel till lunch. Everything you're hearing in the background here is my music, by the way. They gave me carte blanche. Joel Hollander is an adventure, danger-loving adventurer. I'm also getting a little bit of a shock now, coming off the microphone. He's a danger-loving adventurer, but he's really, really a crummy engineer. But Tim is a great engineer, and he is struggling to put a Band-Aid on this wound that has come to know as Diamond Dave's Tiki Bunker, where the debris meets the sea. Join me. Did he turn the microphone down? Turn my mic up just a little bit. Roth Radio, because I have to talk to Philadelphia, Hutch. And they're a little farther away than Robin. There you go. Okay. Dallas, Texas. Roll out. Old Texas skies. Boss Cowboy Roth riding to the coat of the cactus. It's going to hurt in the morning. Hey, it is morning. It's happy hour in Tokyo. And I don't take that unseriously. Cleveland. Hello, Cleveland. Pittsburgh. Congratulations. They're probably still partying, right?
I would think so.
Well, it's Tuesday. At least it's the beginning of the weekend. West Palm Beach certainly is in West Palm Beach. What's the name of that striptease place we went to at West Palm Beach? It's right by the highway. You know what he's pointing? What's the name of it? It's like Rick.
Oh, Rick's Cabaret.
Well, wait. Rick's Cabaret. Stop. Yeah. What kind of a problem?
Go ahead.
Occurred?
Brian.
No. You animal.
Brian can tell it better than me, man.
Get in there. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Brian.
Lean on it.
Okay, let's see now. There was some guy that was in our little area standing by us. An animal.
Wait, you were in a private booth?
Kind of a little area. I think you might have been there. No.
No, Dave wasn't there.
That was allegations.
You know, Stacy. And anyways, the guy animal kind of walked him out of our little area, but he kind of walked his way back. And animal was sitting in a chair.
I was there.
I was behind Animal, and this guy was kind of coming towards Animal, and I kind of nudged Animal's foot to let him know that something was, and he knew, though, and then all of a sudden, when the guy made the move, Animal just, in 1 second, the guy was on the ground, champagne bottles were flying.
Well, Animal is a moving cross-body block. It's a good thing he's not on ice skates. He's a moving cross. You know how people have to skate towards you, invert their body perpendicular sideways, so if you put your arms out, your body is like, your face is looking at the ground, but you're actually 5 feet off the ground, and your whole body slams into the forward or whatever, the goalie or whatever. Animal can do that just putting his arms out and walking up to you.
Well, 30 minutes later, the guy was buying us shots of tequila, so it was all good.
Okay. Was the owner of the club, probably. This was where that girl was great, great looking, but had really bad teeth, right?
Probably.
You never.
4 years ago.
Stop crowing. You Jaspers never got that close. But I did, because this is Roth Radio, and I'm like the Wizard of Oz, but with a little bit of reverb. Okay, let's get
a little reverb.
Let's go back to Oprah, because she's a little bit upset, and she's talking about her book scenario, right?
Yeah.
Her credibility is in doubt. I see here, now I'm jumping around, that John Bon Jovi from Page Six, where I get all my best news. In fact, this is the only newspaper that I read. In fact, this is the only page in the newspaper that I read. You think I'm kidding. John Bon Jovi, whose personal life is considered tame because he has been married to wife Dorothea since 1989 and doesn't do drugs, is trying to sell a tell-all autobiography for $2 million, according to Who Cares? No, really, talk about that. What do you think?
What's
are you
to say? No sex, no drugs, who cares?
Well, maybe it's one of those, I was born a poor black child, and I grew up, and I slaved, and...
Okay, make it a song. Give me 4 minutes of that, not 250 pages.
Every single Bon Jovi song is that autobiography. That's right. What was the last one? It's my life! Whatever, you know, it's... You know what? I have a take. They did a kind of a funny version of rock songs like that in Boogie Nights, and I think I have a copy of that. I'm going to dig around for it because the lyrics are so, it's Moon in June.
Yeah.
Clearly, you know, either you got to keep notes, okay, and things that people say or ideas or experiences that you had or even a street sign, you follow? And then you have something to write about with, rather, or you got to have a life experience. If you're not somebody who keeps notes on it, you know, like Woody Allen always has little bits of piece of paper that an expression somebody says, some slang that somebody says, you know, whatever. I have a book like that here. Watch. We few, we happy few. We'll just start right there. Write that down. And I also write down, I wrote down like the name of a racehorse called Willie Amaze. Hey. No, there's another one here, like Indeed I Do. That's the name of a racehorse from a couple of years ago, and you spell it I-N-D-E-E-D-I-D-O. One word. Indeed I Do. That's a great word. That's a great song title or whatever. And you gotta be able to work with your notes, or you gotta go out and live it. You gotta be like Mark Twain, and you gotta go out and do it, or more importantly, let it all happen to you, and then you can reiterate. I'm not sure what happened to the Bon Jovi band speech, first thing to go. That's the 30th page of my book.
I thought
book.
It was a hip that was the first thing to go.
No, it's the lower back, darling. And that's the 20th page. That was Stacy from Dallas. And,
with the bad teeth.
Well, it's a treasured injury. These are treasured injuries. Plus, there are certain injuries that you get that nobody has any sympathy for. Like if you catch herpes from a supermodel.
Oh, man.
Who cares about you? Zero sympathy.
Classy problem. Yeah. We call that a classy.
These are designer problems. These are designer medical issues. You know, you get your tooth knocked out by Naomi Campbell. That's like a designer injury. That's free drinks. That's sex in the women's room. That's sex in the champagne room. You know, gee, do you know Naomi? Is she actually paying for the tooth? Do you see her at the dentist? You'll hear questions like that. So what, are you using Naomi's dentist now? Do you know her? You can even get away with garbage. Like I always tell her, she says, oh yeah, I flew here from L.A. to New York last time on the airplane with Naomi Campbell. We weren't sitting together. But Bon Jovi, we've never sat together, actually. But we did take a picture together once after the, I think it was the Grammys in L.A. about 10 years ago. And, I walked up and said to the fellas, hey, guys, how are you doing? You know, so forth. And yep, that's my microphone buzzing up again.
The
there we go.
It is the mic.
I went to the Grammys, and Bon Jovi was there, and his whole family was there, his mom, his dad, the whole band, the rhythm section, you know, the whole thing. And they said, hey, can we take a picture of you, with you, Dave? Let's take a picture together, etc. And I said, sure. And we all lined up. I didn't see until later, and when the picture came out in the newspaper, but Bon Jovi's mom did the thing where you put like the peace symbol or whatever.
The devil sign over your head?
Behind my head. I admire that confrontational attitude. It's too bad Bon Jovi never got any of it.
So you think that he really hasn't stepped out on Dorothea, and how long have they been married? 150 years or something?
I don't know. He doesn't strike me as a particularly interested in what he's doing beyond the commercial value of what's going on there. I don't have the impression that there's a lot of music playing in the backgrounds, etc. I don't have the impression that there's a whole lot of radios being played in the background. I don't have the impression that he has his own guitar player wherever he goes. You know, like what, something about Mary? You know how the guy pops up with the guitar like the narrator? I have that. Oh, I do.
Brian's your playing.
Turn the music off here. Watch. Like whenever I go somewhere, he's there. He's about 10 feet past animal, and you usually don't see him. But like, play the Running with the Devil there. See, whenever I walk into a bar, he plays that. Go ahead, man. See, and you think you hear it, but you're not sure. Okay, there you go. Can you play Shaft? Can you play the theme from Shaft? Here we go. Get it up. Because this always plays whenever I take a chick home. Go ahead, man. Hit it. Shh. See, and then you're never sure if you're really hearing it or not, man. And you go, David Lee has his own freaking soundtrack, man. That stuff is rock star. Put the music back on. Okay. I don't have the impression that John Bon Jovi has his own theme. Why would you call an album 100 million people can't be wrong? we can be wrong.
Some of them.
All right. I love the music. But in terms of absolute torque and confrontational ability, if Bon Jovi's mom, who put the devil sign over my head, could sing, she would sound like this next track. Go for it, Hutch. Hit it on. Yo. Got that out of my system. I'm going to drink a Red Bull. Play a commercial for us. It may take me 3 minutes.
David Lee Roth in the mornings.
Roth, 广播电台，早晨醒来的第一件事，大卫电视，是你的唯一。Yeah, Roth Radio. First thing in the morning, Dave TV, nothing but yeah.
There, baby. You missed me, Hutch. Go back and do it again. Play the ID again. Go ahead. Stop. Stop, stop, stop. Stop, 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 stop. Go for the ID again and make sure you get my voice back on when we come back in here. Go ahead. Do the ID one more time. Okay, go for it.
Hold on.
There you go. And I'll fix the microphone because the gear here is broken. Again, third rate.
Roth, 广播电台，早晨醒来的第一件事儿。大卫电视是你的唯一 Yeah, Ross Radio First thing in the morning Dev TV Nothing but yeah
There you go Now all we got to do is get a microphone stand that doesn't keep falling over here. Get Tim in here. We'll fix it on the air.
It's like you need Mike Viagra.
No, no, no. It's whatever, Infinity CBS. Virtually everything here is third class. This has been the worst working experience I've had. Aside from talking to all of you on the radio, which I look forward to every morning, and that's great, the rest of this experience has sucked. From the beginning to the end. Look at the garbage that we're working in here. These walls haven't been cleaned since, what, the mid-80s? They're disgusting. Everybody sits around rubbing their noses like junkies in here. There's exposed insulation in all those rooms, in Howard's rooms. No wonder he wanted out of here. We can't even get a microphone fixed here. The stands have been breaking and falling apart literally for 2.5 weeks now. So go ahead and fix it. Play the music. Fix it. Jam on it, man. Take your time. Go ahead, bro. Why don't you just replace the stand?
I will. I'm going to go get a new stand. Actually,
does that one work? Bear with us, folks. Again, you know what we had originally shared with the folks at CBS was, why even come into a studio? I think the future of modern radio is what Christiane Amanpour is doing. Where does she actually work? You follow what I'm saying? You can easily do this. Every third-rate morning zoo team is broadcasting. You got to see all four. There are people running around here. Robin is moving her papers around, etc., trying to accommodate this. And I said, there, you just drop that. And what happens is I said, why don't we just broadcast from a hotel suite? I'll pay for it. I said, why don't we broadcast from the Lincoln Jazz Center? I'll pay for it. Get a little storefront somewhere. I'll pay for it. But for some reason, we've had to come into this. Had I known that we were going to be shoehorned into this, woof, I would have had no interest in this gig. Seriously. The idea was, let's travel, man. Let's see the world. And for some reason, we got shoehorned into this, and this is disgusting. So give us a second here for a second, and we're going to replace the microphone and the stand, etc. There's no way around this, my friends. Please, bear with us. Here we go.
Let me take your mic out there, Dave. Hold on. Wail it, bro. You're up. You're up. What'd you do?
I came up here and the best we could do was to put up some bedspreads on the wall to stop the stink coming off the walls. It looks like a stoner bedroom in here. No, it's disgusting, man. I can't let anybody come up here and see this. Now they're coming to me and going, hey, we want to make a TV show. I said, guys, you ruined that months ago. I didn't find out I was coming into this place until almost a month after I signed a contract. I said, oh, I wanted to vomit when I found out about this. And in the other room that's set up for Stern, they did nothing. You know how they how Stern would sit, and it was all designed for him, and that was beautiful. And they just popped a chair to the side of it and said, you'll sit here, Dave. I had said to them, you know, look, we got to put it in the contract. We got to travel, you know, et cetera. And the first travel we just passed last Friday, we were supposed to go off and, you know, and broadcast from Motel Suite. They can't be trusted. You can't trust any of the guys here. Timmy is doing the best that he can to keep these mics and things working. But there's no way I would walk out of this and hope that they could get the telephones working 20 meters down the street. Thank God these people aren't in the military. Turn up the... Okay. We're back. Does this actually function? Is this one actually going to hold there? I think it will.
I think it works.
Okay. I'm sorry, my friends, but sometimes you got to wake folks up or they just don't pay attention. And I've been asking for this stuff for about 2.5 weeks. You know what Tommy Lee has been asking for? He has a new porn star plane thing. Yes.
I was hoping.
Well, it says here, a new porn star plane thing. Good sound. Sounds like porn star. The Motley Crue drummer has been quietly dating 20-year-old Stephanie Morgan. 20-year-old.
Damn.
All the subject matter that we deal with here on Roth Radio, right? Are we poignant? I'm not sure what that means, but I think we're poignant. I do. Listen to it. Okay, so,
you're poignant?
Well, somewhere between Tommy Lee and 20-year-old Stephanie Morgan. How old is Tommy? He's got to be like 40, right?
He's got to be.
Oh, plus.
And she's half his age? Go Tommy, go Stephanie. And she's Stephanie Morgan, the latest addition to adult industry giant Vivid Video. We're told that Lee met her at the Adult Video News. Okay, at the Venetian in Las Vegas. I actually went to that convention and wound up in a room at the Venetian a few summers ago. Everything else is allegations. That's not in page 6, but I wish it was. They've been seeing a lot of each other ever since. Seeing a lot of each other. You mean like...
square inches? Yeah.
Anatomically? Oh, that's like a pun.
What?
Anatomically.
Sound like a horse name.
Or a stripper name.
Or horse name.
Hi, I'm anatomically.
Is animal, do you feel there's a big difference between horse names and stripper names?
Not that much. Just the spelling. That's it.
Well, strippers use things like Z's and X's, you know, yeah. Like excited, X-I-T-I, you know, like. There isn't, you know, spiritually, I think there's a fragment of a difference, but racehorses, man, that's what you want. You want a filly. right? A 3-year-old. I mean, the equivalent.
Never
looked
at it that way, but
I don't know what equine age is. I don't, dogs is 7-1. That's the ratio. I don't know what equine for horses would be, but I'm imagining that he's dating a thoroughbred. She's a nice little filly, and it averages out to 20 human years. You know?
It goes back to that two dead battery thing, Dave. You know.
Say that again, Ryan.
It goes back to that two dead batteries don't start an engine. You know.
That's right. So you're saying Tom is a dead battery, and he got a live one to reverse his polarity?
Maybe. You never know.
He's in Las Vegas in a room at the Venetian right now reversing his spiritual polarity? That's what you're saying?
Something like, but see, like,
I like the way you think.
But the last time I saw him, he came into your water hole with a friend of mine. He was with Pink.
Oh, right.
Pink is a good friend of mine. But I don't
you know what?
If they was dating or just hanging
no,
out.
No, they're not dating. They're seeing a lot of each other.
Pink just got married.
Yes, she did. This was a while back, though, you know.
Pink
it wasn't recently. Pink is a really good friend of mine.
Pink got married to anybody interesting that we know?
His name's right on the tip of my... Corey.
Is he a musician?
I think so.
I think I saw this fella. He's like a motorcycle mechanic, and I think they had him on Punk'd or something like that. Larry Hart?
Corey Hart.
Who cares? Stop. What does he do for a living? Do you know?
I'm looking it up.
Okay. Oh, wait, he's running. Just say it, kid.
What? Motocross.
Motocross. Is that possible to really do for a living if you're not in the top five? I understand that you do it, but are you actually making a living at it? Or are you living off of Pink?
Oh. I think he's pretty high up there.
Yeah.
Well, he's high up there in the media hierarchy now. Obviously, you know, you got the fellas, you know, jumping up and saying, I know who he is and I know what he does. But is he a winner? Is he like top drawer?
I think he is. Something's making me think that he also runs... like the first motocross magazine, perhaps.
There's no such thing as the first motocross magazines. Those have existed for years and years. Come on. Motocross was super popular back when I was a kid.
Oh, is that a fact? I didn't know that. I thought this was
right after we built the pyramids.
Boy, you look damn good for your age.
A couple more days, 26. Here it comes.
Is that in equine years?
It is in equine years. I think... that Tommy's my new hero. No, really. I mean, he's like the Energizer Rabbit or whatever. He never stops, right? No, his stuff
I was telling you that yesterday.
His stuff is constant. And you love him. You're a groupie for Tommy, right?
I'm a groupie for Tommy. Yeah.
He's our version of Keith Richards at this point, right? He represents that kind of a bohemian element, I think. You know, it's our version of a pirate. It's our version of the Hell's Angels, you know. Hell's Angels actually have to, you know, be responsible to a group. Tommy's not responsible to anybody. That's a hero, man. He's the man who came from nowhere and goes home to no one. Well, he goes home to Pam.
Pink's a pirate. She's a pirate.
She's a pirate. She's got a great voice. I'm going to dig around. I have a couple of her records. I'm going to dig out her great voice. Here's the voice that sounded like hers when I was in high school. Get the track, Jack. Hit it. Yeah.